See, no,
Yes.
you're good.
Perfect.
So, how you been, man? It's been a while since we talked. I was a ex-student of yours,
Yeah.
junior year. So, how have
Yeah.
you been since then?
I've been great. A lot has happened since then. Yeah, I've gone through a lot, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, since last year, I think. I learned a lot about myself, and also, I did a whole, brand change to the thing I'm trying to create, which we can probably touch upon
Yeah.
later. Yeah.
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 So, I remember I was in your class. It was super chill, but our table back there, we were pretty loud and obnoxious, so I apologize for that. Me, Charlie, Octavio, Jorge Razones, I apologize for that.
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, we like broke the table and like did a bunch of stuff. We were always loud. So, I'm gonna start off kind of personal.
Yeah, sure.
So, I see you're married, right? So how did you and your significant other meet, and when'd you meet?
Funny story. So, I work part-time at a gym, the downtown YMCA, so I also do personal training before and after school.
Yeah.
And I've always worked at the gym. I worked there since college, and I've been working there for about 12 or 13 years already. So it's a really good gig. Anyways, I'm always known as the friendly guy. Always like know
Yeah.
always talk to a lot of people, if not almost like everyone, just try to get to know them. And so my wife, she was always a regular, right? And she was always the quiet one, always reading while she worked out. But the key thing, or the thing that really stood out the most about her, is she always wore these Jordan shoes, basketball shorts, and then like a grungy ass shirt. And so like she looked like a lesbian basketball player. And so like in my head, I always create these if I don't know the name, I always create an image in my head, and her image in my head was the Asian lesbian basketball player at
Yeah.
the gym. And so I've always I asked her, I just went up to her and asked her, how she was, and what's her name, and what do you do, and so forth. So I just just cordially just introduced myself and just said hi to her randomly. And so one time I went to go take my one of my good friends to go see a DJ for his birthday,
Okay.
right? His name's Avicii. He passed away a few years
Yeah,
ago.
he's big,
He
really
was
big.
big back then. So I wanted to go take him just to go see Avicii, because he liked him and I liked him. And so we're in front of the line, and then up walking to the front of the line was Grace, my now my wife, but I thought in my head was a lesbian basketball player. And she was decked out to the nines, like all done up, hair's nice, makeup all there, and looked really, really good. And I called her out, I'm like, "Hey, Grace." And she's like, "Oh, Lloyd, right? I can't believe you recognize me." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm really good with faces. I remember faces, but not names, right?" And so after that, we clicked, because our similarities or
Okay.
our similarities or our big similarity was our music. I love hip hop, 90s hip hop, right? And then also house, right? Because I love to go out and dance. And so her and I, we're just friends at first. Every other week we'd go find the DJ and just go out and hang out. And it was funny, because sometimes I'll be dating those are my single days, so
Yeah.
I'll be dating different girls, different girls, just randomly. And they'll be over my place. I was living by myself,
Yeah.
and she would come over. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go out with my friend. We're just gonna hang out. And it's funny, because as friends, she saw just me just living my life. And then after a while, we just hung out more often, every week, and then more than twice a week, and so forth. So we just officially started dating. Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good gradual thing, and a good thing you went to go see Avicii. Do you think if you never went to see Avicii, would you like that spark ever happen?
Well, the thing is this, because the reason why I was so drawn to her is because I could understand her. And the fact that what I thought of her in my head was totally something different than what I saw her with, I'm sorry, with what she really is really not what she actually portrays, right?
Yeah.
And she told me that the reason why she dresses like that at the gym was because she doesn't want anyone else or anyone to approach her, which in my case didn't work, because I actually went up to her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. And wow, that's good timing. So I wanted to ask you, yeah. So you have a pretty prominent brand that you know, you represent, mm-hmm. Have a strong day. So how did that start and when did this start, you know?
Good question. So this slogan was actually trademarked back in 2009 by some guy I knew. He used to work with me. Nike actually licensed it from him for like a couple months. Okay. And then after that, I gave it back to him and they didn't do anything with it. And so a few years pass, and then like maybe 5 to 6 years ago, like he started working, the guy who owned the slogan worked at the Y, and then we eventually, I heard him talk about the slogan, and I thought to myself, that was a great slogan. And then we partnered up and we started to bring the slogan up, but it wasn't working out. So long story short, the slogan was given to me several years later.
Okay.
And after that, it was first geared towards fitness, right?
Yeah.
Nike promoted it as a women's fitness campaign.
Okay.
So it was first trademarked for like health counseling, right? And so when it was given to me, right? I just right away trademarked it for apparel, okay, for apparel. And the apparel was, it was only for apparel. And after that, I tried to bring it up again by myself with focusing on fitness, and then like it didn't really catch on quick because around that time, like maybe 3 years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, the market was very saturated in the fitness, like leisure wear.
Yeah.
And as you see now, there's so many different brands trying to do leisure wear. And maybe like 3 months ago, right, my wife like asked me or told me like, hey, like, would you ever consider pushing it to mental health? And like, it didn't really click to me until she actually said that. And like, cause leading up to that moment, right, like personally, like I've been seeing a therapist personally for almost like a little more than a year already, right? I've like gone through like a spirituality like change as well. Like I'm now like Christian as well, and I'm like I fully I'm really what's a good word for this? I just strongly believe now, like in like spirituality, how important it is as well. So like the combination of both spiritual and like psychological is really one of the things that made me like turn almost 180 in my thought process. Mm-hmm. And the fact that like students were asking me to be the sponsor of mental health, right? And this makes sense, right? Like for me to understand like strength, right? Strength first starts in the head. Right, it's all about your choice, right? Like choosing whether or not you want to do the good thing or the bad thing. All right, you always have that choice,
yeah.
And so it takes a good amount of strength to choose something, right? Even though like a lot of us, we grow up upon, or our culture tells us to do one thing, but you know deep down we know it's wrong.
Yeah,
it takes a lot of strength to pull ourselves out to even go to the good things, right? And so I really think that like mental strength is earned one day at a time. That's why like have a strong day is to earn strength one day at a time, and it's always through your head, through your mind first. So ever since I changed the brand to mental health a few months ago, I just saw like a positive increase in the traction, right? And the fact of the matter is, like at first when I did the brand, I didn't know really what it was meant for, right? Yeah. And I really did it like for myself, like I wanted to make all this money and so forth. But once I changed it to mental health, it was more about like, how can this brand be, I call it a movement. How can this movement be more for the people? And then, so the more I thought of it, the more I thought, you know, what do they want to see? What do they want to hear, right? What do they like, you know, what do they want to like, what do they want to feel with the brand? The more I think of it, the more I apply it, the more it resonates with people. And so the whole purpose of the brand is for people just know that they can have the choice to have mental strength daily. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, it's a very good answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's gone through a bunch of changes ever since you acquired the brand from your friend, right? From the YMCA.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
Can I ask you some like the technical aspects of like having a apparel company or you're starting a movement with like the mental health and
sure.
stuff? How hard is it to like market and push like products?
So it's really, the thing is this. So you really, I'm learning, and then to be honest, like I don't have anyone to guide me. So yeah. All I have is like YouTube and like and asking people.
Gary
right?
Vee.
Yeah, not so much. Not Gary Vee. Gary Vee is more of like those motivational guys. I don't know if he sells clothing, but I just know he knows how to sell certain things. I don't know what it is, but I just know like he has videos out there. But he's really good. He's a good talker, right? But the thing is, like, when it comes to like selling a product, what I'm learning is you have to have a certain niche. Or you have to have a certain niche, right? And also, like, you have to think about like what does this provide, and what emotion does it evoke in other people, right?
Yeah.
And how does this brand connect? Because what I'm learning is, for me, like, what's the story behind the brand? And that's all it is, right? And how does the brand connect to people? And through that, you'll have someone like connect to the brand and hopefully would want to purchase something with it, right? And so it's like that one saying, I forgot who said it, but it says like, you remember people not really what they do, is like how they made you feel. I forgot who said it. I'm sure someone would correct me, but it's always how something makes you feel that really resonates and sticks to you your whole life, right? And I remember like maybe a week ago, what I've been doing too is like I've been very vulnerable, and vulnerable meaning like I'm just open to all like my faults, like I'm being open to like what I've done in the past and all the you know, suffering I've not gone through, and then the shame, I've just been open to it. And I posted maybe a week ago on my Instagram, right? Both my personal, like my public one, and also like my brand. Like, you know, like how I've gone through the depression, and like when I gone through depression, which is like almost 4 years ago when my son was born. Also like I went to isolation, I did like substance abuse, right? And that's when I actually thought about like maybe I should seek help. Because at first, like, I'm like, I don't need help.
Yeah.
And so, like, you isolate yourself, right? And you just think, I'll pass. But the more you do that, the more you think that you can do it on your own, in reality, it's hard, or most, like, the most difficult thing to do in your life is to move through life by yourself. And so, I have to really, like, admit to myself, like, you know what? I actually, like, need help. So, like, it was a while, but...
You're good.
Yeah, so I think just admitting to myself during that time that I needed help, and just being aware of what I was going through emotionally was the first step. And then being mindful where I wanted to take it was the second step, and then choosing where to take it is was the final step. And so like that's the whole thing about like when I created the brand, going back to the brand, right? Like the three key steps in having strength is first being aware of your thoughts, and then second thing is where do you want to mind, like where to mindfully take it, right? And how to process it. And after that, the last thing is choice, right? And I think, to be honest, the only thing we have control over in life is our choices.
Yeah.
Nothing else. It's like the circumstances that come about in our lives, yeah, really have like no say in what comes to you, right? Something can happen, but the thing is, what happens after? You can either choose to reflect on that, like in a bad way, or you choose to move forward, right? And that's what it is, right? Like I chose to want to not be sad and depressed, right? You always have that choice.
Yeah.
And so once I chose that, and I started looking for like a therapist, right? I was actually so fortunate to have my therapist a block away from me.
Really?
So okay. I live. Well, I don't want to say where I live, but I live near like a major street in LA, right? And then like there's this like one like building that's like a block away from me, and then didn't realize that there's a therapist in there, and then like he's within my healthcare providing like network.
That worked out.
And so dude, like every Tuesday night, like, I look forward to talking with them and, like, just going over my stuff. And the thing is, like, I think men in general, like, it's hard for them to actually, like, talk about things.
Yeah, so, there's, like, a stigma around that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? Like, women, like, they're known to always talk. But men, like, there's, like, this... There's this wall that they're trying to break down. Like, they, you know, they want to talk about it. But the thing is, there's no safe place.
Yeah.
Right? And the thing is, like, the reason why I think, like, therapy is so good, like, one-on-one, because the person in front of you has no bias. There's no bias with him, right? Like, so, like, you can... It's a safe place. There's no... He's not there to judge, right? Because when you're friends, there's a history, right? And the only thing that... that you have with the therapist is just you and his answers to you on how to move forward out or through a problem. Okay. Right? And so you go there with a, like, hopefully a positive attitude. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
These are some very good answers.
Oh, dude.
Very, very good answers, you know? I'm going to, like, tell you straight up, like, I'm, like, zoning in on whatever you're talking about.
Well, great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the listeners are, like, loving this, man. So, like, what are some of your long-term goals with the Have a Strong Day? Because what you said about, like, Nike catering it to women at first, but once mm-hmm. you got it, you changed it to, like, mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Like, we, like, men, we do need that. We have a stigma around that, and having someone like you would really help. So, like, what are some of your long-term goals?
To be honest, man, that's the thing. Like, you can always have long-term goals, but the thing is, like, you can always have that vision in front.
Yeah.
But that vision in front is there, like, as a reference point. But the thing is, like, if you don't get there, like, we'll be okay with you. And so that's the thing. Like, all I do right now, and it's been, like, really working for me, is what can I do tomorrow or what can I do today to make it better than yesterday?
Okay.
And so, like, I've been trying to really just think of that. Because if you think so far ahead, you start planning in your head too much, right? Really not going to take the initial steps forward, right? So, like, the vision of mine is, like, I just want to grow it to a... I want the slogan to be the mental health slogan, or a very strong mental slogan, right?
Yeah.
I hope so, right? But, you know, that's the goal, right? It's like, because you can really never foresee the future. You can always just do one thing and see, like, how to... what the outcome is from your action. And that's the thing, like, right? What actions will you take? And then what is the outcome of the action? And then from the action, what would you do next? And so that I really try to think of that daily, like, right, what can I do today to move this forward? And what did I learn yesterday that I shouldn't do today or should do today? And so, like, the more I think of that, the more it moves forward, right? But the more I try to reflect on the bad things, right, and really think about, oh, I should have done this, should have done that, versus just taking action, or even just saying, like, oh, dude, what about this? What about that? Right?
Yeah.
Hold on, sorry.
No, you're good. Well, that's kind of cool. What the hell? I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. So, like, the more you think too much in the future, also the more you think too much in the past, you're not really being present. And that's the key thing, like, about anything in life is being present, right? What's happening right now? What can I do right now?
Yeah.
And then what are the actions I should do right now? And after that, what can I do from this point forward with the results I've done with my actions?
Okay.
And so, like, it's hard. Like, the thing is, most of my life, I never applied that. And just to, like, the recent, like, few months to maybe, like, almost a year, I've been trying to practice it. But the more I practice it, the more I see things moving forward, like with my family, right? Like my marriage, like with my son, right? The more I have, the more I'm present with them, the more... fruition I see, like, in the connection with, like, my family, and the connection with my brand, and connection with the people with the brand, and so forth, right?
Yeah.
So that's the key thing. I really think just being present.
Being present and making yourself better every day, trying to improve.
Correct. I think being present is the hardest thing, especially for high school kids, because
you're always thinking
about the future, and also dwelling on the past.
Mm.
And thing is, like, what can I do right now? And, like, and thing is, like, you have to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, mistakes is, like the mother of success, right? Like, you have to, mistakes, how are you gonna learn? The thing is, like, I was always afraid to make mistakes.
Okay, yeah.
But the thing is, like, the more mistakes I make, the more I learn from it so I can move forward. And that's why I've, like, the past, like, few months, like, to be honest, like, I've the amount of traction and also the amount of sales last month, I made more last month than last year.
Whoa.
And so like, and that's the thing, like, and the thing is, it's a good indicator, right? But it's like, it shouldn't be like, oh, I mean,
yeah.
It's more of like, okay, due to the actions I took, it progressed.
Yeah, you should never focus on the numbers.
Correct. Right, because it's like, all right, what's this movement doing? And so, like, that's really I have to think about, right? So those are the things I think about.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And I like, even with, like, running a podcast or, like, a YouTube channel or anything, like, you should really focus on what you're doing and what, like, content you're producing or how you're living your life. Because when the numbers go up and you just start focusing on that, that's really negative, you know?
Correct. And, like, if you focus on numbers, I really think it's, like, a selfish, fear-based move.
Yeah.
Is because, like, when you think of numbers, right? Don't get me wrong, it's good to think of numbers because you want to project, like, certain outcomes, right? Like, but also you also project, like, you know, how much you want to spend. But it also, like, it's really how you think of it. It's your intent when you think of it, right? Like, oh, I make this money, so I'm proud of myself. You know, it's a selfish thing,
yeah.
Right? It's more like, you know, like, oh, I made this much money, let's move forward. Or what can I invest in this brand to make it grow more? So that's like, that really changed my mindset when I think of this, right? Because I think a lot of us, like for me, even before, like it was a very, like when I think of achievements, it was more of like of a selfish thing, right? I achieved this, therefore I feel better about myself. It was like self-validation.
Mm.
Like when you have to validate yourself based on something, right? But in reality, like why do you need to validate yourself with so many things? Right, and I think, well, that's something we can really touch upon deeply. But you know, like I used to be like, don't get me wrong, like I throw my insecurities in a lot, but I used to be super insecure, and I used to validate myself a lot, you know, like or have other people validate me.
Yeah.
Right. And so when I think of this, right, when I think about like my brand's doing well, I can't really tie it into myself as the brand by itself, because, you know, even though like I'm helping run the brand. The brand is itself, and I'm just someone here trying to oversee the brand. So for me to try to have disconnect is one of the strongest things, to be honest, because if you associate your identity with the brand, then I think if the brand doesn't do well, then
you're not going to do well.
You feel that. You feel like it's not going to do well. But the thing is, the brand is its brand, and you are yourself. And so I think the thing is, if the brand doesn't do well, you have to think to yourself, it's okay.
Yeah.
What can I learn to make it grow more? But the thing is, if you associate... if you tie it with yourself, right, then I think that's where you lose a lot of, to be honest, I think you lose a lot of momentum because you start to validate its success or unsuccess, like, with you. And so that's why I think sometimes, like, you have to untie yourself from something, right, in order for it to grow, to be honest.
Yeah. I think this also relates to like all the students listening, is that they also seek validation through like their grades or their
correct.
GPA, or like
correct.
They're not good enough if they don't have an A+ in their class.
Correct.
And if they get like a C- or something, they really like pound themselves over it, and they're just not happy.
And I think it's the reason, like, it's not their fault.
Yeah, it's definitely.
And I think it's because, like, you know, like maybe society or something, maybe some teachers or like most likely the parents are the ones that really instill that, like, you know, like, it's the reactions of, I think the reactions of the parents, right, that are very key when it comes to raising a child, right? Like, if the student gets a bad grade, the thing is, like, we are going to get bad grades someday.
Yeah, of course.
The thing is, like, well, how do you, it's the same concept, like, how do I react to it? What can I do now? But I think, like, you know, like, as a parent now, right, when my kid does something that, you know, like, that he messes up on, you know, he's not doing it intentionally. And that's the thing, right? The intent is all about the intent. If the intent is the person trying but fails, it's okay, because the intent, he's trying to do well. He or she is trying to do well. And I think, like, the thing is, why students have so much anxiety and depression is because they've done something or, like, multiple things where they tried their best but didn't do but the outcome didn't do well.
Mm.
And then the parents, you know, they scold them or they put them down somehow. And then the student feels like crap. In reality, you deep down inside, you know you're trying your best.
Yeah.
And that's all you can do, right? And I think it's really crucial for parents, also like teachers, right? Just to tell them, like, dude, it's okay. Just figure it out.
Because every kid out there is just seeking validation from their parents. Like, you know, you got a 4.0 GPA, you know?
Yeah.
You're a good kid now.
Dude, I just, like, the thing is, you can never, there's no one ever who's perfect, right? The thing is, like, I just think, like, people who just show their flaws are the most beautiful, because that's who you are. Like, vulnerable, like, vulnerability, like, showing your flaws is what really draws you and connects you to people, right?
Yeah.
And, like, actually, like, has, like, a good stronghold. So, but I just, going back to, like, the mentality of, like, students, right? Like, we're all, even me, we're all trying to figure out life.
Yeah, everyone.
We're all trying to figure out our purpose, right? But how can we do that, right? If we think that we shouldn't fail.
Mm.
And the thing is, like, our support group, right? Even friends, right? Like, we should all be there supporting, right? Like, to say, like, dude, it's okay to fail, right? But the thing is, what can you do? What do you learn from your failures, right? So... And that's the thing, right? I just think, like, you know, for me as a parent, right? The thing for me as a parent, I can care less how smart my kid is, to be honest. He'll learn. But the thing is, as long as he knows he is loved, right? And we're there to support him, deep down inside, you know we can achieve anything.
Yeah.
If you know that you are loved, if you know that you have support, you can do anything, right? Because you have, like, you know that your home base is there for you, regardless. And I just think, like, a lot of kids, right, deep down inside, that if they know that they are validated and they know that they're loved by their parents, like, hope, you know, it's hard to do unconditional, but the parents are trying their best, right, to understand them, the kids are just going to be happy and they want to do anything they want.
Yeah.
So that's what I truly believe, because I grew up in a household, like, not feeling that. And that's why I understand a lot of kids. Like, that's why I like when some kids come and talk to me. And the thing is, like, I could totally relate, because I used to be, like, in that the same mindset. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Like, yeah. you want to have a good support system for your child. And it's good that you're not repeating mistakes. Because, like, you've been there, as we all have been. And I think the way you're going to treat your kid is going to be, he's just going to be able to achieve anything he wants.
I hope so. And I'm trying my best. Dude, don't get me wrong, dude. Like, my old ways still come out.
Yeah.
But, dude, at least I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a struggle, dude, like, in my head. Dude, I used to, believe it or not, like, I used to have, like, anger issues. You know, I used to snap a lot. Dude, like, it was bad. But the thing is, I understand why now. Right. And the thing is, like, I have the ability to just choose. Like, right before it's okay to think these things in your head, but the thing is, to take action on it is always the thing that you can choose whether or not to take action on it. Like, people sometimes like, oh, why do I think that? The thing is, it's okay to think it, but now that you're aware of it, choose to take it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to think these things, man. Don't get me wrong. Like, we all think different things, but the thing is, like, taking action on it.
Your choices.
It's your choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, this is all, like, I like your mindset, man. This is really good. So, like, you mentioned in class last year, and you mentioned in the podcast that you worked as a fitness trainer in YMCA in downtown.
Yep.
So, how was that going for you? Like, when do you work there exactly?
Yeah, so, like, I have clients sporadically. Well, like, I have, like, three or four clients. Like, three or four days a week, I have clients in the morning before I come to teach.
Yeah.
And I have, like, another two, sometimes three after school, okay, right? But it's one of those things, right? Like, I just love to see people achieve a certain goal, right? Like, here is one of them to, like, learn certain subjects, right? Like, medical term or, like, some stuff with, like, fitness, right? From another class. But, you know, like, being there for people, like, to just go through, like, a physical change is great. But also, like, I love talking to them as well, like, you know, like, ask them how they're doing, right? A lot of them tell me, like, oh, like, I'm their, like, therapist, but I don't really think I am. Like, it's because I listen to them, right? Like, so what I do, like, I love talking to them as I'm working out with them. And I think, like, those two combine, like, just also being vulnerable with my clients is what keeps them long term with me. Like my oldest client, or like the client that I had longest, 7 years.
Whoa.
7 years, and I see him like weekly, right? But yeah, it's one of the things. Like I just, it's a good side gig. It's very like inconsistent, like the hours, right? Like some clients leave, some can't make it, right? That's why it's a good side gig to have. Yeah, I don't really think I'm gonna leave it anytime soon, right? And maybe until I can't walk. But it's a good side gig for a teacher, to be honest.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's really good. Yeah. I see a lot of teachers doing side gigs, which is, it's really cool. You guys are really creative. I like the creative side of you guys. Mm. You know, besides being a teacher, you guys have really good things on the side.
Mm.
So I saw, I think it was on your Instagram or Have a Strong Day, that you had a picture with Miss Odara together.
Mm.
And she was repping the Have a Strong Day brand. And she, if you didn't know, she was also a yoga instructor on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, did you guys mutually know that about each other? Or
no. So she told me about that, right? And, like, it clicked. Like, because, like, it's funny because her and me, we somewhat have the same mindset, right? Like, live life through love and not fear and so forth. But back then, right, like, it's funny, like, when I took a photo of her in my shirt, and also I took a photo of Mr. Rodriguez in my shirt, like, I didn't really know where to take the brand, right? Like, it was some still fitness on my head, but, like, in my head, like, deep down inside, I'm like, dude, there's something more. But when I thought of it, like, I look back, like, when you just mentioned right now, like, in hindsight, like, oh, dude, it was actually a mental health brand that I didn't even know it yet.
Yeah, I always thought it was. I thought that's what you were going for the whole time.
And, like, but the thing is, like, it didn't really click to me. Like, but, like, the fact that she's a yoga instructor and also, like, the same mindset, like, it's really, like, cool just to know. Like, it's weird because, like, there's all these teachers here, like, I barely know them, right? And when I talk to them, like, dude, you're really cool. I'm
exactly.
Like, dude. And so, like you said, you interviewed Mr. Parker, right?
Yeah.
Like, yesterday, like, we had a professional development meeting, and, like, we were downstairs in, like, our meeting, and Mr. Leal, he led it, and our objective was to create a song out of an article we read.
Yeah.
And so, like, we're supposed to write a song, and then I play piano, right? And so, like, I started playing, trying to write the song for our group. And Mr. Parker said he plays bass. I didn't know he played bass.
I didn't even ask that. What?
And so, like, she's playing the bass. She's like, what chord do you play? I'm like, oh, this is a G. I'm like, all right. And I'm like, what's the next chord? I'm like, a B minor. I'm like, oh, right. And I'm like, dude. I'm like, I didn't know he played bass. And so, like, the thing is, like, even, like, there's some teachers in there I didn't know play instruments as well. And I just think, like, even though, like, this is such a close-knit, like, group of teachers, we're so far.
Yeah.
Like we're far in a way, we're far removed because we have like our own world in our own rooms.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like we pass by each other, say hi, but to have a conversation, you know, like other jobs, like, you know, like corporate jobs, it's very rare unless you like hang out at school.
Yeah.
Or you have the same period where like you like you help same prep period, right?
Yeah.
Even like at meetings, like we sit with each other, but I think we can't communicate because someone's talking or we have to listen to someone.
Yeah,
you know. So even like our I just think like there's, as teachers, like I think we should have more like outings.
Yeah, you guys should, because you guys are all like cool. And from the other podcast I did with Ms. Parker, like the way you guys talk about each other is like a bromance in the brewing, man. He was talking about how like you were at like the teacher's lounge like playing Clash of Clans or something on your phone.
Oh, that was on me.
You're doing something on your phone or something, and he saw you and he's like, damn, I wish I could play with them or something.
Mm.
And I'm like all you guys, it's like, I don't know how to explain this. It's like a second high school. It's like, damn, I really want to talk to this cool Mr. Sarte guy.
Mm.
And I really want to play bass with this guy. And like, you guys should definitely hang out.
Yeah, I thought, like, yeah, we should form a band here.
Yo, Parker and Sarte.
And Mr. Marks plays guitar very well. And I saw him yesterday. I'm like, oh. Thinking like who plays drums here? Like,
yeah, like, you just start creating a whole.
But it was
Pepper Alley.
It was one of those. It was really fun. PD, which is a professional development. It was really fun.
That's yeah. awesome. Was yeah. that like by LAUSD? They
well, our PD was about motivating students, and then Mr. Leal's way of motivating students was to create or use song in lessons. And so like I did last time, like I did it like maybe a couple years ago, where I made my students like write a song about like the bones.
Whoa.
And like half of them like, no, I don't want to do it. And like they're like, even though it was okay, like a lot of them like didn't really try. You know what? I might just try it again.
Really?
Yeah. For me, it was fun, but I don't want to be. I'd do the selfish thing and be like, oh, because it was fun for me.
Yeah.
I'd be like, all right, kids, like, let's see if it can be fun for you. So.
You know, I'm just gonna throw this out there.
Yeah.
You should really start your own like mental health podcast, right? Like right now, like Have a Strong Day podcast. I think you should start marketing that. That would be good too.
I was thinking that I have so much on the table, but you know what?
Like, you should like interview Mr. Leal, Mr. Parker, all your, and then that's how you would like be able to connect with them. You know.
Interesting.
And then, like, if you put it out in the public, us students could hear it too. Because I don't know, there's this weird thing where students just try to make teachers the villain. I don't know why they try to do that. Like,
well, why do you think that?
I honestly don't know. Like for example, Mr. Foster. I did a podcast with him. And like, whenever I ask students, like, hey, what do you think about Mr. Foster? I'm like, bro, like, he fails me all the time. Like, I hate him, bro. He's like a villain. He's like screwing my GPA. I'm like, nah. If you talk to the guy, he's actually like super chill.
So the thing is it really the teacher or is really a student? That's the question, right? Like, it's the, so maybe students are projecting something like someone else as like onto the teacher, right? Because in reality, right, like it depends, right? Like I don't know who, like what teacher does what, but you know, if teachers are doing the job right, the whole purpose is for them, for the student to help understand the material, right? But the thing is, like, if the student says like he failed me, did the teacher really fail you? But the thing is, like, it's your work being done in the class. So is it really the teacher, or is it you, right? Or like, have you even like approached the teacher? I'm like, how can I raise a grade? There's always a choice, right?
Yeah, I remember I did that with you, or like my grade was in the gutter.
Yeah,
you know, I was very distracted. Yeah. I wasn't doing too good, and like you showed me what I was doing wrong. I was missing work. And then you gave me like a binder of like articles and stuff. And I was like, here, Saeed, there's extra credit. If you want to do it, you can do it.
So it's a choice.
Yeah, there's always a choice. So yeah, I approached you, you helped me out. And I was like, yeah, like this guy's awesome.
But it's also like, you had to think about like, cause like there's a lot of students who believe like in entitlement, right? Because if you give them everything they ask for, then they're not going to learn. So the thing is like, I can only give you so much, but the thing is you knew what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right. So like there's only so much I can give, but it also has to be something you have to understand. Like, I can't give you everything. You had the choice in the beginning, but what can you do now, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing too, right? Like I try not to give my son everything, right?
That's good.
He has to earn it.
Yeah.
Right? So like what I do at home is, in order for him to get a new toy, he has to earn like 4 stickers. And for like every day he earns a sticker, and then there's rules, right? Like, did you share? Did you kick anyone, right? Did you push anyone? Like, did you listen to teacher? Did you listen to mom and dad, right? Like, did you eat all your food? Like, if he hits all these things, right, then he gets a sticker. So all those things, because I don't want my son thinking like he can get everything, right? But even though we think he gets everything, the whole point is for him to understand that, for him to get things, right, that he wants or things he deserves, he has to earn it. So we try our best to try to instill that at a young age.
That's really good. Yeah. Like not spoiling him and like him chasing something, like chasing good things, like making him a better person and getting rewarded for that. That's really good.
It's always about like the action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell he's gonna be a really good dude.
I don't know, man. It's just right now.
Just right now, no. He's gonna be a good kid.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, so we're, a lot of us are heading here in a few months. So how was your college life, you know?
Oh, dude, I was such a bad student.
Really? You were a bad student?
Yeah, like, dude, because I was so my whole mental state back then in high school and also college was, I was really trying to seek some validation, because like my mental state growing up, let me get a little deep on you guys. So, like, I was conceived in the Philippines, and then my mom came here by herself, and my dad tried to come right after. But something happened where he couldn't, so he worked in Saudi Arabia for about four and a half years. And so I didn't see my dad till I was four and a half. And so I was only with my mom and my grandparents till then. So all I knew in my head was mom, grandparents. And then so like, and then I had all the affection of my mom growing up. And then when my dad came here, right, like I didn't know what dad was. I just know dad was a word. Okay, like I just knew that, like that's dad, but I didn't know what emotionally what dad was, because there wasn't, the only father figure I had was my grandfather, right? But he wasn't emotional, so I didn't have like any, like I didn't know what dad was. And so when my father came, right away, like I felt like this guy took away my mom. Who is this guy? And then my sister was born, and then like all the attention was on my sister. So like I just like recently, I just realized that all my anger was me feeling abandoned and me feeling like, what did I do wrong for my mom to leave me emotionally? And for, right? Like, so I had all this, like, I didn't know what it was until like I had to go deep inside my head and think about like why am I so angry? Why do I have this animosity towards, like, you know, my mom? Or why, like, why do I have all this sadness towards, like, my mom, or like sadness or anger towards my sister or my dad? Because I felt inside, like, I didn't know, as a child, like I felt like these people, when my mom stepped away from me and my dad took my mom away, and then my sister took all the attention away. And so all of that I didn't know was bothering me until like I really started thinking about it like years ago, like with therapy. And so if you can imagine, like me not realizing that and then going through life, my whole mental state, like growing up, was how do I get the attention of my mom again? Like what do I need to do, right? And so like I think like also as like growing up, my mom, also my dad, right? Like they were like, you got good grades. And so like, okay, so my achievement back then was to get good grades. But the thing is, like, I didn't know the value of education. It's more like, okay, get an A. So sometimes I would cheat, right?
Yeah.
And
we've
so,
all been there.
And so like, because your whole thing is like, well, I want validation for my mom and dad. So they want an A, so then I'm just getting an A. Because they don't care about, I don't really think they care about me learning anything. Yeah. It's more about me getting a grade. And so that's my whole thing, right? Like, and so like my whole point of going through school is like, I just need to get a good grade. And so like, I would pick like easier classes because like, oh, I'll get an A here because all they care about is an A. So I didn't really, my whole thing was like validation. I need validation from them. I need validation. I need them to know that, like, I want to see if they love me or not if I get an A. And so the thing is, like, it was always that. It was always me trying to get attention. And then it grew on to more like, I need, like, if my parents don't see me, I wonder who else can see me, like, who can validate me. And so like, I would dress like louder, like brighter colors, and like try to talk a certain way and do that, right? And so like my whole purpose, I thought in my head, and like growing up, I need validation because I wasn't getting it at home, right?
Yeah.
Or so I thought, right? And so like I didn't really value it, like learning, until just like my early 30s, to be honest, like late 20s, early 30s, where like I thought to myself, right, like dude, like I keep thinking like, oh, I know all I know. Why, like, I don't need to know anything else. But after just thinking that and then moving out on my own, like I live by myself, the more I think getting away from for me thinking like it's a toxic environment and like having being on my own, right, really changed me as well. Like knowing that what I was doing was probably like the worst choice to do, like not trying to like learn new things was really wearing me down. And so I really didn't start reading all these books and like learning all these different things until like my late 20s and early 30s, right? Like you may think I'm like calm and collected like now, but like back then, dude, it was horrible. Like if I saw myself back then, like if I approached myself, well, if I saw myself walking up to me right now, like me, like my late teens, like early 20s. I would like kick him in the nuts and like beat him up. He's like, I remember, like, it made sense to me, like, why people didn't like me, because I looked back, I'm like, yeah, it made sense.
You weren't true to yourself.
Yeah, and also, like, I would hurt people, right? I would hurt people because, it's like that term, hurt people, hurt people, right? And you do it because I would grab, like, relationships, right? Like I would, like, you know, date with someone, and then right at the moment I thought this person would do me wrong, right? Like, even just the thought of it, like, this person wouldn't even do it. Like, I'd either just break up with them or just, like, cheat on them, because I don't want to get hurt, because I was getting hurt at home, right? And so, like, just knowing why, because the thing is, like, I didn't know why I did it, but knowing the why I did it, I'm like, oh, dude, it's because, like, the reason why I did those things back then is because, like, I was trying to deal with the pain inside, right? And I don't think, like, a lot of, like, teenagers realize, like, the hurtful things they're doing is because they haven't really accepted or forgiven the past, right? They never really went down in their heads and thought about, you know, why do I think this way? Why do I feel this way? Because, like, those painful thoughts in their heads, like, it's hurtful to go back in the memories that are traumatic or painful. Yeah. But the thing is, in order for you to move forward, you have to actually go back and think of it, and, you know, and think to yourself, like, dude, I have to accept that this happened. I also have to forgive this person, or forgive myself that this happened, right? And I think that's the hardest thing to do. But I never did that back then. Like this recently, like when I get triggered, I always have to, like, be aware, like why, like why am I triggered? Oh, it's because I didn't forgive myself for the similar situation back then, or and accept a similar situation back then. And so, like, going back to, like, you know, like, did I do well in school? Like, no, right? Like, no. And it's because my head wasn't there. Like, my head was always enveloped in why things happened, and why this, or if I don't do this, like, you know, what will happen? So I was never present, ever, right? And also, like, I didn't understand the value of education. Like, I didn't understand the value of why you need to learn these things until just, like, several years ago. Like, well, maybe a little more. But, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I feel so more, like, alive knowing that I know so little.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's the world, there's so much in the world.
Yeah, there is.
And the thing is, like, and then I really think the purpose of life, to find your true purpose, is to just be curious about everything. And through that curiosity and through the failures is where you really find your purpose. And people, they're like, I always get scared to try. Like, I'm always scared of, like, you know, what will happen if this happened. But the thing is, like, dude, you're not going to know unless you try it.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, like, you know, like, I don't know. I just like the mindset of, like, you know what? I know so little. But the thing is, I'm happy about that because I want to know so much. You know?
Yeah. I feel like if you know way too much, that's not a good thing.
The thing is, like, you think you know so much. But the thing is, you probably know a lot on one thing. But there's so much other things out there you should learn. Yeah. Right? To make you better as a person. Right? Like, yeah. That's what I believe.
Okay. That's good. So, for your kid, you're not gonna be like, Lloyd, you need to become a nurse, get straight A's.
That's a little racist, dude.
I mean, you that's your, you just described your parents, man.
Did I? Okay. maybe, okay. No, it's like, the thing is, like, because, like, my parents wanted me to do this. Like, you like, it's funny you say that. Like, I want you either be a nurse or a counselor. Straight up. And so I had that mentality, right? Because I think that's all they knew. And don't get me wrong, like, that's all they knew. So I can't really get mad at them because that's all they knew. That's what they thought success was. Because culturally, maybe that's what they saw growing up.
All the other Filipino kids became nurses and had good lives. So I want that for Lloyd.
That's very, it's very relative, right? Like, good lives based on what they think is good life. Okay.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that, like, dude, he can do whatever he wants. He can be, like, a trash guy, but be the best damn trash guy there is, right? Hey. As long as he's happy, right? But the thing is, like, as long as he's, like, a loving, like, person, you know what I mean? Like, and, like, just unselfish, you know, like, and like loving to his wife or his children and his people around him, like, dude, that's like, for me, that'll be the best. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm still trying to do it myself, right? I'm still trying to learn all that, to be honest, right? Because it's, to be honest, this whole like unselfishness and like totally like loving without like fear is somewhat new to me too. But the thing is, the more I practice it, the more I see my life like getting better. Like, why can't I just do it to the kids?
Mm,
okay. And like, imagine their life if they have that instilled in them at a young age. But, you know, like, I'm really trying to do it. That's why, like, I'm Christian. And so, like, the whole thing to, like, you know, like, I don't know, it, you know, like, for me, learn, like, brand new to be also Christianity is, it's all about love. You know what I mean? That's the root of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
It's good. I like what you said. Like, in a way, how I interpret it is that, like, you should, when you remember someone, you should really remember for who they were, not like, oh, you know, Lloyd, you know, he's just that, like, fitness trainer and teacher who made, like, 100K. But instead, he was, like, a really good person, yeah. And he made me feel really good things and made me a better person.
Yeah. You know, like, sometimes, like, I get me wrong, like, I'm sometimes not present. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I really I'm trying my best to be present. Like, if someone comes up to me, like, a student talks to me, like, I try my best to really just be present and, like, listen. Because it's like, they come to me because I don't think an adult actually listens to them.
Mm.
Right? And because I never, like, growing up, like, I never had really an adult, like, really listen. Like, really just, like, listen and, like, validate my emotions. And so, like, when people come, like, you know, students come to me and, like, they tell me certain things, dude, I try to go all in. I try to listen my best. You know, like, I don't try to give answers. I always try to ask them questions, right? Because that's the thing. Like, if I give them answers, it's from my perspective.
Yeah.
But it's really, like, their choice. So I ask them questions back. Like, well, why do you feel this way? So I go, like, a little therapist on that.
Yeah. Practicing therapy.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, what advice would you give to the listeners who are headed into college or heading into the next step in their lives?
And so the thing is this. So the whole thing about what you're trying to figure out life, and that's the whole thing about like going through college, is trying to figure out your life. And I think what students really need to think about when they go, or in their heads in general, is what they want to do in life is really think about the term love, right? And so, like, well, remember that thing I did last year about that, remember that speech I did?
Yeah.
Okay. So for the listeners here, like, for me, like, there's always been, like, how come there's so many definitions to complex things, but there's no really true definition of love. And love, don't give me, like, love is what really drives you in life, okay? And so there's no definition of love, but I came up or I found a definition that makes sense to me, okay? And so the way I got to it is this. So imagine there's a kid who finds a lighter, like 5-year-old kid who finds a lighter, and he picks up the light and lights it. So what does he do?
He just reacts to it, like, oh.
He touches it.
Yeah, he touches it.
And so he can go either one of two ways. He can either go, oh, shoot. This was painful. I'm gonna set it down and not touch it again. Or he can go, oh crap, this is cool. Let me look inside.
Mm.
That was painful. Like, I want to know why it was painful, and looks inside and gets curious about it. And so the second like idea of love is like, you know, imagine this guy or this girl like at her job, his or her job, and then like he messes up. And like, he or she's put on like a 1-month leave. Either he or she goes, you know what, screw this, I'm gonna quit. Or be like, you know what, let me understand how I messed up so I can move forward, and because I really appreciate this job. And so the last one here is like, you know, imagine there's a couple, like a girl and a guy, or like even same sex, and like one of the couples messes up somehow and then hurts the other person. The other person got hurt and says, you know what, screw this, I'm gonna leave. Or he or she can go like, hey, you know what, let me understand why he or she did this so I can move forward. So I think, well, I believe, right? Well, from those three scenarios, like, is where I thought about, like, what the definition of love is. So love is the continuous pursuit to understand, right? So you think about it, right? People say like love is a feeling, right? Yes, it's a feeling, is the feeling of happiness. So the thing is, like, you feel happy when you understand something. So imagine like you try to figure something out your whole life, or something, like for maybe a week, maybe there's a problem in a class that you couldn't understand, and finally you understand it, and so it made you so happy, right? And so what you want to do, you want to learn more, right?
Yeah.
And so you continuously try to pursue to understand this. So you think to yourself, oh, I love this class now, right? I love this class now. And so you think about it, right? Like, you do it, and then another problem pops up that's harder. And you're like, oh, dude, it's hard. And you say, oh, I don't love this class anymore. So you think about it, right? Is it really love to begin with, right? Mm. Or is it really just infatuation? Or the thing is, like, for instance, like couples, right? We're drawn to people, like, we're familiar with, because it makes us happy when we connect with each other, right? But the thing is, if there's a disconnect, really, really, like, you know, something happens between your friendship or relationship, right? You say, oh, I don't love him anymore. The root of it is, like, at first is understanding. The thing is, the key thing for love is the continuous pursuit to understand. So the thing is this. If you really truly love something or someone, you're going to continuously pursue to understand it, right?
Yeah.
So that's the thing about going to college and in life. Like, what are the things or the thing in life, like people or like a job, that you're willing to continuously pursue to understand? What are you willing to know you're going to fail at and still come back again and work on it? That's where you start loving your job. That's where you start loving your spouse or your friends. If even, like, it's great that you click initially, but when like shit comes down, are you gonna continually pursue to fix it, to learn from it? So when you go to college, what major are you curious about? Like, this is all driven by curiosity. You also have to figure shit out, right? What are you curious about, right? What sparks your interest? And then after that, start understanding it. And then when something comes about, like, that's difficult, if you really love it, you're going to try to figure out a way to solve it or move forward and through it. So, you know, what I say to kids, you know, is start learning to continuously pursue to understand, you know, the things in life and people. And through that, you'll find, like, your purpose. You'll find what you want to do, right? But it also has curiosity, right? Like, I changed majors maybe like 3 or 4 times.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then, like, the thing is, like, you know, like, I appreciate and, like, I fell in love with, like, you know, like, fitness and, like, kinesiology, right? So, for, like, the listeners out there, like, you know, figuring stuff out, like, the thing is, like, learn to love, like, life and people. Like, continuously pursue to understand, like, life and, like, subjects and, like, people, like, and through that, like, you really start, like, to learn about yourself. Yeah.
Wow, that's you are literally giving the best answers ever. That made me like reevaluate my whole life. Yeah. And like why I'm like picking the major that I am and what I'm looking to get from it, you know.
Mm.
So I want to pursue computer science.
Yeah.
It's super tough.
Yeah.
I know that. I know how rigorous it is. But I know how much satisfaction I would get from it too. Cuz I actually have like really supportive parents, and they weren't one of those like, Sayed, you need to become a doctor, be successful, and they never did that to me. They just said, you know, do whatever you feel like makes you happy, but also, you know, supports you, you know, financially, because they want me to be financially secure. So I always loved computers. I always loved technology. I always loved, whenever people had computer problems or whatever, you know, they always came to me. And it just became really that dopamine rush whenever I got to fix a problem. Like, this guy has a computer problem and I just fixed it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, that feels good. Yeah, I like helping people this way.
Correct, yeah.
And if I could like do that in a larger scale, like obtain a computer science degree and just do that for a living,
yeah,
that would be the best thing ever.
Yeah, man, it's always changes. The thing is, like, that's the thing with like technology, like it's always evolving, always changing, so it's always something to understand.
Yeah,
so
it's like it's a very, very good major to pursue, because it like technology, it always advances so much, like it's insane.
Yep.
Like this decade is gonna be crazy for technology. Like when I was born in 2002, like technology was, it was like the internet even was pretty young, I feel like. Mm. You know, like social media like Facebook or YouTube or Google, they were really just starting out, and look where they are now, you know, like so many new problems come out. But that's like, you know, that's software stuff. But I don't want to get into like technology too much. Like it's just there's so much things coming up, like, you know, like you're into medicine and fitness, right? The way that technology can help and assist with that coming up, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like there's this program that's like coming up, and it's doing really good. Jeff Bezos is supporting it for amputees. They can make like an identical arm, and it's gonna feel like it's gonna feel and touch exactly as if it was your own, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna take a bit of time to perfect it.
Yeah,
obviously there's gonna be a lot of human trials and just a lot of things to, you know, tweak.
Mm.
But once it does come out, like, isn't that insane? Like, just that problem just won't be prevalent anymore, you know.
Yeah, it's really amazing, like how like we can solve solutions for the benefit of people, and that's the thing, like, you know, like how do you evolve things to make it better for people versus being selfish? I think that's what it is, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, the world, as dark as it may seem sometimes, I think it's on the right track.
Correct.
You get me?
Yeah.
People are becoming more aware and understanding of one another,
hopefully. I hope.
Now I can like definitely understand like the way that people have treated me over the years. I can tell that people are beginning to understand more. You know,
great. That's good to know.
Yeah,
from the lens of
like a minority, you know.
Well, like a teenager.
Yeah, a teenager. Yeah, you're right, because we all have different views of the world, but I feel like this upcoming generation of kids, like kids my age, we really want to do something spectacular, you know.
Yeah,
we really want to change the world.
And the thing is, like, you know, you can.
Yeah,
because the thing is, like, I think as children, like, you always have this mindset of like you're curious and you want to do things, but as you get older, you're told you should be a certain way. And it's funny because I think in reality we should go back to the mindset of a young child. Because through like that mindset of a child, like, you're fearless, right? I think really like a lot of children are just fearless, and the whole purpose is to figure out life.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, like when you get older, you think life is life. You're told life is should be this certain way, but in reality, life is not the life that you're told that should be.
Mm.
Life is should be creating things and innovating things and making things better for the benefit of everyone else. So like, I feel you, dude. Like, I can see, like, everyone wants to do something else. Like, so a lot of students say, like, I want to do this, but my parents say that. I'm like, dude.
Do it.
Sure. You know, like, I know you don't want to disappoint your parents, but, you know, like, try. There's always going to be a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember last year, you're really good with that. Because I remember last year, I was just sitting, and I was pretty down. Because I recently broke up with my girlfriend, mm. and who I had for, like, 2 years, mm. right? So suddenly I just had like a lot of free time for myself.
Mm.
So I was just like, you know what? I've been wanting to pursue stand up comedy for a while.
Mm.
So let's just do that. Mm. Let's just yeah. try it. You know, yeah. I live in LA.
Yeah.
All the top comedians are here. Let's just give it a shot.
Yeah.
And ever, like, I told you about it and you were pretty supportive. I thought you were gonna be like, Sai, just shut up, bro.
No, dude, why?
Yeah. So I went and did that, and it changed me a lot, actually. It made me a better public speaker.
I can tell.
And it's probably the reason I'm doing this.
That's what I thought too. Like, I think that was a good kick in the butt to move you forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, the people I've met, like the way they do things, how determined they are to make it in life.
Mm.
And I have friends who, like this guy, Fahim Anwar, he's an engineer for Boeing and Delta Airlines, and he's also a stand-up comedian, you know? We all have our own goals, and when you find someone with similar interests as you, it's so rewarding, you know? Like, I'm making so many friends that are like 10, 20 years older than me, but like, you know? I love them.
Because it doesn't matter how old you are, man. Like, if you connect, you connect, dude.
Yeah, when you connect. It's crazy. So, this is a hard hitting question. I can see where your answer would lie, but how has being a father changed you?
Oh, dude. So the whole thing about like fatherhood, initially, what I thought as a father, like, oh, I'm gonna be so happy when I have a kid, and I think when you think that, right? A lot of people think like, oh, I'm so happy. I feel so happy, or I'm going to be so happy when I have a kid, right? I think really we're telling yourself like, this kid's going to make me happy. And I really think that's a selfish thing. I didn't know it at the time. And so the thing about like relationships, especially being a father or even also a husband, is learning to be selfless. And having that awareness of like, dude, am I doing things selfish right now? Am I doing things for myself, or I'm being selfless right now? And really got to think about like, for me, like, why am I being selfish right now? Right? Why do I need to think that I deserve this right now? Right? And, but in reality, like, I think to myself, like, all right, how can I be selfless right now, like, to my kid? Because before, I used to go home, you know, from work, and like, I would go straight to eating. Like the past week, right? I've been coming home and like, I go to school, like, oh, what can I do for my family? Like, I want all my son with my attention, right? So I think like, as a father, right, and also just marriage as well, like, learning to be selfless is what I'm really trying to do and change into, because like, teenagers, even adults, man, like, we're very, there's a lot of selfishness. Like, I if you're aware of it and you see the things, like, dude, this is, he's doing things selfishly. Like, you're doing, even though you think in your head, your narrative in your head, you're doing, oh, I'm doing it for him. In reality, deep down inside, you know, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to relieve the anxiety. You're doing the thing to seek validation. You're doing it, you think you're doing it for someone else. Like, oh, I'm doing it because I feel bad. When you say like, oh, I'm doing it because I feel bad, you're doing it because you're doing it to relieve the anxiety in yourself. So like, oh, I feel bad, so I'm gonna do it. So it's not for the, it's not, you're not doing it for the person, you're doing it for yourself, because you're trying to relieve your, that shamefulness in you, or you're trying to relieve that, you're trying to relieve that anxiety in you in order to feel better, versus really doing it for the other person. And so for me, like, being very aware of that, like, being mindful, like, oh, like, I have to just think to myself, like, I'm doing most of the things I'm doing for my family, right? Is like, thinking that mindset is one of the most difficult things to do, but I see the most rewarding. Like, I see my son, like, more attentive towards me, and like, wanting to play with me more, and right, and that's the thing, right? I don't think people understand like what true selflessness is, and I still don't. But the more I work in it, the more I see like my relationship with my family get a lot stronger, right? And so like being a father, like, is the whole learning experience of, you know, like, what triggers me and how to react to my triggers, right? If my kid like spills something, right? Like, if I feel triggered to get upset, right? Like, why do I feel triggered to be upset? Like, is it really doing it on purpose? Is his intent to really spill on purpose? Is it not? Right? And if he did spill on purpose, like, what was his intent? It's probably to get my attention, right? And the thing is, like, being a father, like, helped me to be very aware of my triggers. Like, being a father helped me to also be aware of my selfishness, right? And so, like, it helped me actually, like, become a better, like, person in general, to be honest. Yeah,
that's a really good answer, man.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a little easier questions now. It's pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So do you know Stephanie Malik? Oh, no, that's not her. Stephanie Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
So she asked the question, how often do you get haircuts? I was curious too, because dude, like you always have such a fresh fade, and I'm always so confused.
Every 3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, because it's funny because I sing for my church.
Yeah.
And so like I just make sure like I get a haircut. I sing once a month for my church.
Okay.
And so I just make sure like I get a haircut like a week or two before I sing.
Okay. Wow. Dude, because like even when I was your student, I was like, dude, how does this guy always have such a clean fade, bro? I'm so confused. Like, do you just have your own like personal barber? Just like, oh, you got no, a hair strand.
I go to some guy who's like 3 blocks from me. I always go to.
Yeah, you live in a good place in LA then.
It's a good safe place where my child can actually walk around outside. So it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And then someone wanted to ask, who is your favorite stand-up comedian?
Oh, Bill Burr.
Bill Burr.
He's my favorite because he's so raw.
Yeah.
And just so like, he's just one of the most funny. I don't know his punchlines, but he's also just super just aware of like what's going on in society, and just like calls it out as it is.
Yeah.
I just for me, he's my actually favorite comedian.
Yeah, Bill Burr. He's really good. Have you seen Paper Tiger?
Yeah, dude, like 5 times.
Dude, he's really good. And then he's like such a successful actor too. He was in Breaking Bad.
And was he really?
Yeah, he was in Breaking
Bad. I didn't know
that? I mean, it wasn't like a major role.
Yeah.
And then he was also in the Disney's Mandalorian.
Yep, I know, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. I could tell by his head and his voice is so distinct. Yeah, yeah, Bill Burr's really good.
I like him.
Yeah, Bill Burr's amazing. Yeah. All right, so final question I wanted to ask you is, how do you, Lloyd Sarte, how do you have a strong day?
Oh, so the way I have a strong day is to always be aware of my let me tell you how I start my day always.
Okay.
How I try to start my day, right? And I always try to prime my day. So I used to always wake up before and think about the bad things. So when I wake up now, what I try to do is I just thank God for, I'm just grateful for what I have.
Yeah.
Because before, I think a lot of us think about the things we don't have, right? And this should be this way, that way, I don't have this. So the first thing I do in the morning, what I try to do is I wake up, be like, you know what? God, thank you for this home. Thank you for my beautiful family. Thank you for the job I'm about to go to. Thank you for, you know, me being able to actually breathe. These are the small things, right? Like, just help you prime your day. All right? And then after that, like, I always prepare breakfast for my family before I leave. Always.
Okay.
Regardless of the time I wake up, if I work out or train in person, like, or if I go, even if I don't train in person, like, I try to always prepare, like, the breakfast for my family before I leave. So I make sure I do something for them. Right. And then I try to work out. Right. I try to work out. If I don't, I train someone. Right. But then when I come here, I go to my journal and I write down almost similar things that I say in the morning to myself. So I write in my journal. Right. I'm grateful for these things. And then after that, my thoughts. Right. Yesterday, I felt like crap. You know, like, I think the reason why I felt like crap is this, where after, like, you know what, I felt good yesterday, right?
So I know the audio cuts off right here because I guess I lost connection to the podcast or something at that time. But Mr. Sarte was just finishing up his last question of how he has a strong day. And yeah, after that, he just plugged all his stuff, like, have a strong day, social media, YouTube, and the website. So I'll be linking that down below. And honestly, it was a pretty cool podcast to do with Mr. Sarte. He took his time. We had a really deep conversation, and I really liked it. And I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. And I really hope Mr. Sarte starts his own podcast because he's really good at this. Anyways, guys, thank you guys for listening. Stay courtesy flushing.
Yay!